about.
Oh, it started and it is on. I'm sorry I'm late. Did I miss anything?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I ended up being a carpenter and then a boxing instructor and met Jimmy Kimmel when I taught him to box for a morning zoo stunt.
Hey, everybody, it's Weenie in the Butt here live at the Quahog Air Show. We're all ready for the Weenie Sound-alike contest.
I don't know, but I don't think they can say my catchphrase because they no funny.
Oh, there it is. And now.
I'm not very good with chit-chat. I like a structured communication. I like a hard out. You know, chit, chat, chit, chat. Chit, chat. Where are we going with that?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, I love her.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DiBiccio. It is Thursday, the 3rd of August. Hey, kids.
Hey.
Hey, Bean.
We got a lot to get to. I think we may have to save Allie eloping with her dentist, probably, to Las Vegas this weekend for tomorrow. I don't have time for that today.
We have to push that?
It does sound like Allie's in love, and there's no reason those two kids can't be together forever, I think. But I think we have to address something else first before we get to the thing, and that is that Chip is getting in a van today after the show and driving for 24 hours straight.
All right.
24 hours straight.
And the driving is being... I asked Chip.
Is that a bad idea?
It's a terrible plan, Chip. Chip, as you know, is a rock and roll star. She's the bass player for the band Well Hung Heart, and she and her band are playing in South Dakota for the next 10 days or so. So they got to get to South Dakota. So I asked casually and appropriately, hey, where are you guys staying tonight? I figured they'd mapped out their trip. What city did you guys decide to stop in tonight in? I don't know. Sleep. And she says to me, oh, no, we're driving straight through.
Taking shifts. That's how you do it.
To what? South Dakota.
Why don't you...
Just money, man. Well, we have to get to Sturgis. We're playing the Sturgis Festival. That's what we're doing for the next 10 days. And we have to be there by the 5th. We have to be there before the 5th to check in and get set up and stuff. So we have to just go straight shot, just...
So, out of curiosity, Chip, was your band playing last night in downtown L.A. a good move or a bad move?
It wasn't my choice.
Okay.
The band is still sleeping right now.
That is true. They're not working a full day.
For them, it was cool.
Okay.
So, the night before you drive 24 hours, you're out rocking until 1 a.m.?
Maybe.
Okay.
Like she does.
That's rock and roll, you guys. That's rock and roll.
Like she does, right?
You're making a lot of good choices, Chip.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck with that. I love to drive. No one loves to drive more than I do. I'm Mr. Road Trip, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll drive 11 hours to do anything.
Right.
But I'm not 24 hours. 24 hours in a car is too much, I think.
Okay.
All right.
I used to do the 24-hour drive when I went back and forth to college, and we would do it straight. And I remember there was 5 people. There were 2 seats in the front, and then there was the bench in the back. So somebody had to sit on that hump in the middle.
Oh, man.
Somebody had that for 24 hours. And at one point, it was in the middle of the night, and I was driving, and I could not keep my eyes open. And so we pulled over, and we got an ice chest, and I filled it up with ice, and I was in a rag, and I was, like, putting the rag on my face, and I would stick my finger, my head out the window. Just to try and make it colder, and then I started hitting myself, and I was literally pulling my hair. I was like, what does it take to stay awake?
Well, let me make the notes.
I'm beating myself up, literally.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I had that problem, too, and 2 things happened. One is I was involved in a near accident where I almost fell asleep, and it scared me straight. Scared me straight, because I probably would have died. And for whatever reason, that just terrified me so much that I don't have that problem as much anymore. But then the other thing that I did was, and it sounds so crazy simple, is chew gum. If you chew gum, you have to keep moving. You have to keep doing something. As long as you keep chewing that gum, you can't fall asleep. Gives you something else to focus on. I know it sounds dumb, but
think
about
it. Backup on that one.
But just think about it. As you're driving,
you can have gum in your mouth and not chew.
you have to keep chewing gum. That's your focus, though, is to keep chewing that gum. If you keep chewing that gum, you'll be awake.
Interesting.
I'm just telling you that that's a thing that I've used for many, many, many years, and it has proven effective.
I had that once where I thought I was going to fall asleep, so I checked into a hotel. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's a crazy idea.
I know. It's nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
You do that.
So this has been Chip Talk. Right. Thank you, Chip.
Yes,
good luck.
Chip. Thanks.
Do we need to go or can I tell the thing?
You can tell the thing.
We have the time?
Sure.
I love this story so much. Allie, I'm sure that you saw it. I didn't get to it yesterday. But this is the doctor in Kentucky. You saw this story? She's so wonderful. Dr. Amanda Hess.
Oh, yes.
She's a Kentucky obstetrician, Kevin. So she is 9 months and a day pregnant, and she checks into the hospital where she works to deliver her baby, to have her baby delivered.
Right. Right?
So she's in the room, and she's got the little gown on, and she is prepared to have her labor induced because that's her day of her child's birth. While she's there, she notices a lot of commotion out in the hall with people yelling and the nurses running, and she takes a look over at the screen there in the hospital. It's in the room, and she can see that one of the other patients has an infant in distress in her womb.
Oh, no.
What was it, Allie? It was something to do with the umbilical cord was wrapped around the kid's neck or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
So two doors down from where the doctor is supposed to have her baby is another woman who is in a crisis situation, and the on-call doctor is not in the hospital. He's 10 minutes out, and it's an emergency. So she says, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
She did not walk over. What?
Yes.
Yes.
She went to the other woman and delivered her baby?
Yes. So they put a gown on so that her bare ass wasn't hanging out from the gown that she was already wearing, and put some feeties on her and sent her down there. And she delivered, while 9 months pregnant and in the hospital to deliver a baby, she delivered a different person's baby at the same time. Which is just amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a great, great story. The doctor was out of the hospital, and she was like, look, we can't wait. This child is in critical condition. We have to do it. So they did it.
Wow.
And everybody was healthy. Everybody was happy. They both had their babies on the same day. So hopefully they'll grow up and be, you know, little play friends. Have a great story to tell about how they were delivered in the same hospital at the same time. So.
You think they'll grow up to be great play friends?
I hope so.
Well, that would be so cute. I mean, what a nice bond for the ladies, right? Why not?
Right, but I mean, they didn't know each other, right?
Well, they didn't know each other.
Okay.
Right, but it's still cool.
Usually precedes the kids having play dates.
I feel like these two women are bonded forever, though.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I feel like, yeah, they're bonded. What does it take to make you happy?
I'm just asking questions.
Listen, the guy that delivered me is shockingly still working, and I see him from time to time, and I'm like, hey, retire. That's weird. Don't want to see you in the hallways because I'm going in for my checkup. Beat it.
I visited my birth delivery doctor one time when I was in England, probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Is this a thing?
I didn't think it was.
Okay,
so I thought it was weird that I saw mine, but
no, I went. I thought it would be cool to go visit the hospital where I was born.
Did he remember you?
He didn't actually. Oh. Well, he said I had changed. He said I didn't look a bit exactly the same as they did as a newborn. But yeah, so there you go.
You went there on purpose to wander around that hospital
That's weird.
I wanted to see where I was born. Get some pictures for the eventual museum, you know,
for the Museum of Bean.
Wow. I want to go to that so
I'm
bad.
I'm first in line for the Bean Museum. And I got a lot of stuff I can donate. That's insane. All right. Good chat. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I assure you, whoever is responsible for this will be flogged within an inch of their life and then left on the street to die like a pig.
Hmm. We're going to talk about the Dodgers today.
Wow.
Right?
Stupid Dodgers. Lost.
Well, I mean, you didn't expect them to go unbeaten.
I thought they were going to run the table.
No,
you
didn't think that at all.
I can't believe they lost the game. Yeah. Why do we even bother putting a team on the field?
Oh, all right, Mugs.
If you're not going to win them all, why even play?
Right.
Sit down.
You were a security guard.
I was.
Bean was. Who else was?
Dave. The King of Mexico.
We found out that pretty much half of us had been a security guard at an event at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm. And you were as well, right?
So I was in college, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I was not a good security guard.
Really?
I'll tell you that right up front. So we're going to do that today. My wife, Melissa, is coming in to talk about friends and helpers in the back-to-school drive.
Nice.
And did I say Dr. Drew?
You didn't.
Dr. Drew? will be on the program as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey!
Woo! No. That's Woo! Right. You don't 24 hours, baby. Woo!
Woo!
Don't
get,
back
get
that.
Get pumped.
You're going to have 10 days of no haze, so
I know.
Love this.
I'm going to miss it, Chip.
What do you think about the 24-hour plan, Ralph?
I say rock and roll!
Ralph's in. All right.
Live large. Ralph, she's eight, right?
Yeah.
This is the time of life when she can do it.
And she can't drive yet, so she's got that going for her. She can just sit in as a passenger, yeah. So that's great.
You should start, though, because to put the blocks on and off the pedals when you switch shifts, when you have to drive, is going to be a pain in the butt. So start with those big blocks on the pedals
so
you can operate them.
And should I still call everyone Dr. Jones?
What's that?
Should I still call everyone Dr. Jones?
Absolutely, short round. Yes, you should. But, no, but, you know, do your 8 hours first, I think. How many people in the band?
Four.
So 24 hours. And this, carry the seven. So it's six each.
Nothing.
Piece of cake, right?
Piece of cake, six.
But my point is, even with the shared driving, that means your sleep is in a van.
Or in an RV.
I didn't realize
you were guys were like rich and successful.
Tour
bus. Oh, okay. All right.
They're all four driving Bugattis, one right behind each other.
And Chip could sleep in a smart car.
Yeah, true.
In the glove compartment. I mean, she could just curl up anywhere. It's not going to be uncomfortable for her. It's not like you, Bean. You need a tractor trailer to stretch out in when you want to take a nap in a car.
How are you with napping? Are you good?
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere?
Anywhere.
See? It's all fine.
Chip could just curl up in the ashtray or something. She'll be fine. All right. Well, good times. It's Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is up?
Well, Lionel Richie's on the short list of people to be one of the new judges on the revamped version of American Idol. But there's one person who says he should stay far, far away from that gig. It's his current tourmate, Mariah Carey. You may remember that she was one of the judges on that reality competition show back in 2012. And she said that she had told Lionel Richie, don't do it. She has described her time on that show as boring, fake, and the worst experience of her life.
Ooh. Wow.
To which I say she needs to get more experiences.
No kidding.
Because I believe she was paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $8 million, I think, for that season. So if that's the worst experience of your life,
yeah,
I'd like to explain something to you.
But it was 2 days a week, Ralph.
Right?
That's a good point. I know what I was thinking. Hey, what's the rule when it comes to hanging out with your ex's parents? What's the breakdown with the in-law situation
Married
after a divorce
or girlfriend? Oh, after divorce. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that varies wildly based on, you know, how close you are, what the relationship's like, how nasty the breakup was with your spouse. I think there's a lot of factors involved.
I agree with that, but I would assume that for most people, it's not cool.
But if there are kids involved, those are the grandparents.
Sure.
I think that's the difference.
With the kids.
Yeah.
The grandparents get to see the grandkids.
You mean they're going to dinner, hanging out on vacations?
I don't want my mom hanging out with my ex-wife.
No. What? Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Jennifer Garner was recently seen out and about having a grand time with Ben Affleck's mom, Chris. No kids involved, just them hanging out.
Huh. And that surprised me because that was not a, you know, 25-year marriage or anything like that where you would really become that close, I would
think. Well, there are kids involved, which I think,
like Ali said,
that factors into it. But it wasn't like this was a play date. Apparently, they were just, the two of them were just getting along like a house on fire.
She might like her better than her son.
Yeah, it's possible.
But I will say this. I've been married a long time.
And when
Donna leaves me, I plan to stay in touch with her mother. I'm very, very close with her mother. I would visit her.
I'm sure you will, but I think that would make Donna feel really uncomfortable.
Well, Donna's mom is going to ghost you in a second.
That's very possible as well.
I'm just feeding into Bean's fantasy here. But Donna would hate that because when she's finally free of you, she doesn't want you lingering on the edges of her life.
That's very possible. Thank you for pointing that out.
It's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
Likely.
Well, if she meets Ali's dentist, then I really have to worry.
Larry King said he would like to nab the first O.J. Simpson interview post-prison. He would like to sit down with the Juice for that first interview outside of prison once the Juice gets released this fall. And I think we should give it to him because here's some of the cutting-edge journalism Larry would like to to use in that interview. He said he'd like to ask Juice about life on the inside, especially the quality of the food.
That's his selling point?
That's the first thing he said he would ask him.
Oh, wow.
Just lay down, Larry.
That's the quality of the food.
So, how was the food? What kind of sandwiches did you get, Juice?
Don't you start with, hey, are you going to murder again now that you're out? I mean, that's where you begin the interview, right?
Begin and end, yes.
Quality of the food. What a dumbass.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Dumbass.
We can all answer that question. It's terrible, right?
Yes. It's not a restaurant. It's prison.
Right.
And speaking of prison, Suge Knight's in trouble again.
Oh, yeah, no. How does he get in trouble? That's a good guy.
Indicted by an L.A. grand jury for making criminal threats. Apparently, Suge, who, of course, used to head up Death Row Records, is being arraigned today because he texted F. Gary Gray, the director of Straight Outta Compton. And he threatened him because he was unhappy about his portrayal in the film.
Isn't that also why he drove that pickup truck over there that night and ran over the guy?
He did run over Terry Carter with his car on the film's Compton set, yes. But he also
threatened
F. Gary Gray via text as well. And all these elements now have added up into a criminal charge.
Yeah, it's a bad dude.
And he will be... What?
That's a bad dude.
Suge Knight's a bad dude?
Yeah.
That's Kevin who said that. Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin Ryder.
I don't support it.
Anybody needs his address, just give me a call and I'll do whatever you need.
You know how you say bad? Like, it's great.
Oh, I see.
That concert last night
like
was
he's
bad.
One bad dude.
Right.
Shut your mouth.
Right. Why do you have to stop the fun? Come on, Bede.
People would ask me that question for years. Today's celebrity birthdays. Carly Kloss is 25 years old today. Carly Kloss. Boy, she is pretty.
She is. And her dad is Santa.
What?
Santa Kloss?
Yeah, I got it.
Yay!
No, kids, no. No, children.
Bean has the sound effect of the kids and of the clapping, so he gets that all
to him. I can't control what the kids enjoy, you guys.
I should have left a day earlier.
Right? Yes, Chip.
Can we come with you?
Sure. All right.
James Hetfield of Metallica.
Darkness impersonating me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
Hey, it's never sounded better.
54 years old today. Swimmer Ryan Lochte celebrates his 33rd birthday. Or does he? Who knows? We can't believe every word he says.
Could be 80. Who could tell?
Martha Stewart, 76. Hannah Simone from New Girl.
Right?
She's adorable, lovely, charming, talented. 37 years old today. Evangeline Lilly. Fell in love with her in Lost, of course, and now she's soon to be seen again in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Tony Bennett, 91 years old today, and I'm still singing. Unbelievable. Zai Washington, 54 years old today, and Martin Sheen is 77. I'm Ralph Garman.
Is there one more?
What's that?
Yes, I'm sorry. NFL star Todd Gurley, running back for the Rams, is 23 years old today.
The applause there,
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the
show. I think
it's
Tom Brady's birthday.
Show me, I'm done.
Why are people bad? How come bad? Why bad?
This is a lot.
People are bad.
Look, for some reason, we now live in the dumbest country on earth, and I don't know what that's. I read this morning that 26% of Americans believe that the sun revolves around the earth. Okay, so that's the world that we're living in right now.
All right.
Kevin, just as a heads up, it does not.
Thank you.
And this story that you're referring to is not only people are dumb, it's infuriating because
I'm holding out hope that it's still fake. That
really?
Everyone's going to be like, just kidding, we made it all up.
You don't think these people exist?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Because they're Brooklyn hipsters, you think maybe this is a parody article just to show how dumb Brooklyn hipsters are?
You're hoping anyway? But I do know they exist.
Some Brooklynites are refusing to vaccinate their pets.
Why? Because they're afraid their pets will get autism. So, in other words, the nonsense that you've heard from the anti-vaxxers, the Jenny McCarthys of the world, saying, ooh, don't give your kid a vaccination because it'll cause autism, which doesn't happen and isn't true and never happened. These people are now extrapolating that and saying, well, why should I put chemicals in my dog? Why should I inject rabies vaccinations or lepto or distemper or any of the other shots that your dog's supposed to get so that your dog is healthy and lives?
You actually have to have the state say it's okay for you to have a pet in New York, mm-hmm. and they have requirements, and these people are just like, no, no,
not
you
gonna
know
do
what?
It.
Not going to do it.
So I'm sure that they think they have a reason. I'm sure there's some reasonable explanation
sure.
in their mind. So who do we have? We asked producer Dave to line us up somebody who can maybe explain the other side of the story.
We had the head of the anti-vaccination pet movement. This is Lewis McAllister.
All right.
Hello,
Lewis. Mr. McAllister. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Well, we're fine. So do we read this right? This is a true story. You're not vaccinating your dog because you're afraid your dog will get autism, even though no dog has ever been diagnosed with autism in history?
What pet guardian could say that they love their animal, their animal that they're in charge of?
Right. Mm-hmm.
While pumping it full of chemicals. What animal lover could do that to the child?
Well, they're not just chemicals. They're vaccinations that were designed to keep your dog and cat healthy. And Lewis doesn't want to hear it.
Did he hang
Hello?
Up? Oh, Lewis.
Wow, that was not an acceptable question, Bean.
Apparently so.
Huh.
Let's try to get Mr. McAllister back on the line, I guess. It's actually more common in hipstery areas, says this person quoted the article. I really don't know what the reasoning is. They just feel that injecting chemicals into their pet is going to cause problems. However, a veterinarian says, no, there's no proof. Even if dogs were susceptible to the condition, by the way, even if they could get autism, the owners probably wouldn't notice, according to the doctor, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a pet, I think.
All right, we have Mr. McAllister back. I apologize, sir.
I don't have a great phone plan.
Okay, that's all right. So what don't we know? How are we misreading this story, Lewis?
The vaccines are filled with chemicals, and they're filled with elements. Kerouac, be quiet. They're filled with chemicals that can cause your pet to become autistic.
Uh-huh.
Gives them learning disabilities, makes them have a hard time paying attention. They get distracted by things like squirrels and stuff. And so
that's just the nature of a dog.
They sniff around at everything.
Right, that's just the nature of a dog.
They drink out of toilets. They
right.
eat garbage.
Right, these are all dog things.
For my dog.
Have
that's
you
what
ever met a dog?
Kerouac, shut up! Kerouac! So I would never do that to my dog, and I cannot support anyone doing it to their dog.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to say. All the things your dog is doing, your dog was doing before you either got a shot or didn't get a shot. It's just how dogs behave.
Get away, I'm on the phone! I've seen my friend's dogs who get the vaccinations, and they're simply not the same. They sleep a large part of the day away.
That's what dogs do.
They lay in the sun. They're constant. When they exercise, they stick their tongues out, and they
right.
breathe
they're,
heavily.
They're panting. That's
all
what
they
dogs
do to
do.
Cool down.
So I'm against shots. Kerouac, I will kill you!
Oh, come on.
Kerouac.
So, really, there's no way that any person who claims to be an animal activist or lover could ever do this to an animal.
Lewis, you just sound confused about
Kerouac,
dogs.
Kerouac, I am not kidding! Oh, my God. I am... Kerouac!
That time
was...
No.
Come on,
right, there. I gave my dog a shot. You happy?
Come on.
Look, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
So I was a security guard at one point in my life.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Oh, I wish you still were at like a jewelry store, and then I could make so much money.
as was Kevin, as was producer Dave, the King of Mexico. And we're going to be telling some stories and taking yours as well coming up right after the top of the hour, because you do see a lot of cool stuff. You see a lot of great shows, but you also have a lot of weird interactions with people and with celebrities and whatnot. So we'll talk about all that and include your calls and texts coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Thursday. What's going on?
Annabelle.
Right?
Annabelle.
Right.
Yeah! Listen, there's the three staples of the scariest things in horror movies. One, clowns, 2 kids, 3 dolls. Yeah. That's the triumvirate right there. That's the trio from hell.
Fire must cleanse us.
I don't know what that
is. You are all going to die tonight.
We're all
going to
die tonight. That's for sure.
Right?
Annabelle creation. How did she come about? Who would make an evil doll like Annabelle? Well, let's find out, shall we? The movie is out and everywhere in theaters on August 11th. But K-Rex having an advanced screening of Annabelle Creation on the 9th at the AMC Burbank. If you'd like to go and see Annabelle Creation, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 5 callers through at that phone number, we got a pair of tickets to our advanced screening of Annabelle Creation. You know, sometimes songs become hits for all the wrong reasons, or all the right reasons, depending how you look at it. For example, I just realized I left that story on my desk. We'll get back to that one. We'll get back to that story.
All right.
Hey, Beer Mug, can you run that in if you can find it?
It should be on the printer, Beer Mug, if anybody's in there. More importantly, let's talk about this shocking, shocking anniversary. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the 10-year anniversary special is scheduled to
air on
E!
That's been on for 10 years?
On September 24th. 10 years that show's been on television.
You are all going to die tonight.
Wow! What the? 10 years, 14 seasons, by the way.
Wow!
Come on, right?
Wow.
E! Has just announced that they're doing a 90-minute retrospective special. That will be hosted, of course, by producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Ryan Seacrest. That's terrorism, right? Isn't it terrorism?
It is.
Can't we
TV terrorism?
Can't we finally get some charges? Isn't there a new law that's just been enacted or something? Can't Homeland Security step in? God's sakes!
It gets better.
No, I don't think so. I think it does.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Wow.
Speaking of laws and government and stuff, did you know that Donald Trump was set to play the president in 2015's classic Sharknado 3? Oh, hell no.
But it was, I didn't know that until yesterday. That is hilarious.
2015, they're making Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. And they wanted a hilarious guest cameo to play the president of the United States.
Like, who would it be? So funny if we pretended he was
the most ridiculous person you could think of to play the president of the United States. Producers initially went to Sarah Palin, but talks fell through. And so Ian Ziering used his friendship with Trump that he had developed during his stint on a Celebrity Apprentice to get the producers to send an offer to him. And Trump said yes.
How about that whole deal?
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
But when they sent the contract to his lawyers, the lawyers got back to producers and said, you know what? Donald's thinking about making a legitimate run for the presidency, so this may not be the best time for this. We'll get back to you. And they never heard from them again.
So and whatever happened? Did he ever run for president?
Mark Cuban ended up playing the role on the show.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So he's our next president.
So he'll be our next president.
USA! USA! USA!
How much would you give to have the things flipped? To have Donald Trump play it in Sharknado and have Mark Cuban as our president.
Sit down.
I'll take anybody. Seriously. Remember
what
how Kevin used to kid?
You have to lose.
Right? Kevin would kid and say, I would make a great president.
By the way, that's not kidding. I'd be a great president.
I would take it. That's yeah. Where we're at.
This is the first time that has ever even been.
That's where we are.
Oh, no.
All right. I've got that story now, but that thing, but I have no time now. So come back.
Okay.
Or stick around.
Stick around. Yeah, that's better. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you a hilarious story about one of your favorite songs.
Oh, okay.
One of your favorite hit songs. That hit song that became a hit for an interesting reason.
All right.
There's a tease for you.
Love that.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
It's very Casey Kasem of you. I really enjoyed that.
Right after the break.
That was a great tease, Ralph. Really enjoyed it.
Who could love that?
He's down on the phone.
What's the love?
He loves a good tease.
I do. When it's about a song, I don't know this story. I feel like it'll be educational and entertaining.
Oh, my Lord.
Right? Can you give me a hint?
It's one of your favorite hit songs, and it became a hit
for a very strange reason.
There you go.
We'll be telling you right after the break.
Bean, how many
America's top 10.
Bean, how many times a week do you listen to an old Casey Kasem top 40?
You know, there's no new ones.
How many times a week?
I mean,
from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, reruns. Reruns of America's top 10.
How many times a week?
Twice a week.
No, because they run on terrestrial radio. There's a weekly show that is put up for terrestrial radio, and then there's a different show that is put up for satellite. And I listen to both. I've been.
But it's reruns. It's him talking about old songs.
Well, yeah, because sometimes it's fun to hear the hits this week back in 1984.
Sit down. Couldn't you just play those songs? Could you stream them or pull them up somehow and just enjoy them?
Why do people listen to the radio and not just streaming services? Because sometimes you want to hear a person who's invested and knowledgeable and interesting talking about the music
from 30 years ago?
Sure.
All right.
I still learn stories.
Yeah.
Still pick up
kids. I'll be telling you a story from 1987 when we return here at America's Top 10. Is Don on the phone? Get Don on the phone.
Now the current hit by the recording star whose mother nearly died of bee stings because his father was at the South Pole with Admiral Byrd.
See?
You know, where am I going to get that? If I
get that kind of information every day.
Oh, if there was more of that, I would listen as well, but there isn't.
Goddamn dog dying.
Believe it or not, disco fever hasn't caught on everywhere in America. Coming up is my special report on a place where it's against the law to boogie. A town without pity for disco.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
It's against the law to boogie.
Every weekend, you guys.
Wow. I'm breaking the law a lot then, because I am
you
a boogier.
Boogie constantly. Right?
That's what I'm known for.
Yeah. Did they ever get his body back, by the way? Casey's body is still in somebody's fridge? Wasn't there a big fight over the body?
There was.
No, I think they buried him eventually. I think so.
How do you know that?
He doesn't.
He's just guessing.
No, I think I remember that eventually
it got cooler somewhere, like Havasu.
I think I remember that eventually it got worked out.
You don't know that at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of them. So we're going to burn through them because we're running late. Carly Kloss. James Hetfield, Ryan Lochte, Martha Stewart, Michael Ealy, Hannah Simone, Evangeline Lilly, Tony Bennett, and Martin Sheen all celebrate birthdays.
Tom Brady.
I can't hear you.
As
sorry.
Well. Tom
sorry.
Brady.
Can we turn off our microphone? To keep saying Tom Brady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Molly Knight loves the Dodgers so much, she wrote a book about them, a big bestseller that we had her on to promote last year called The Best Team Money Can Buy. And I think it'd be a good time to dip back in with her and talk about this phenomenal historic season that the Dodgers are having. That's coming up 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, somehow it came up. How did we even get on the topic of being a security guard, Kevin, this week?
I think it was the topic of you lost your job quickly.
Oh, and somebody called in who was a security guard, yeah. And I casually mentioned that I was also a concert security guard, that guy in the yellow jacket who's at the front of the stage trying to prevent you from jumping up on it.
Now, were you – because I feel like you'd be dickish.
No.
I feel like you would.
Why? Hey, why do you feel like?
Hey, you kids, get down off that scaffolding. I'll throw you out.
Well, I mean, I think that's...
You don't like fun.
I think the job of the security personnel is to stop the kids from climbing up on the scaffolding.
Right.
That's precisely why they're there, is to try to keep people safe.
I feel like if people are just having fun, you would also admonish them with your finger.
I don't
How
remember.
Dare you kids have fun.
I don't remember that being the case, but I will tell you one thing I do remember, and I think about this a lot, not just with me being a security guard, but with a lot of people in a lot of positions. You are not trained or qualified enough if something goes wrong.
Yeah,
you're just a dude wearing a jacket. You know what I mean? Like, what am I prepared to do to stop a riot, for instance?
Right. In your case, nothing.
I mean, you're just there because, hey, I get a chance to see some free concerts and I'm making a minimum wage. That's why you're doing it. You're not there to save the world. So I don't know. I feel like it would be easy for things to go south quickly with the kinds of people they hire.
Before we go to Dave, the King of Mexico, who was a security guard, we're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067. If you were a security guard for events, the things that you saw, we want to talk to you about. Dave, the King of Mexico, is in Chicago for Lollapalooza. And he's very happy that we're calling him. Dave?
Hi, good morning, guys.
What's up? Dave, are you still in bed?
Yes, I am.
What are you wearing?
Oh, God.
Doing the no pants dance right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, King, it was actually Dave's experience.
Okay. All right. I think message received.
Yeah. Yes.
It was actually Dave's experience that made us think that we needed to take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067, because Dave pointed out that you, as a security guard, you interact with drunk people, you interact with people who are trying to have sex, you interact with people who are trying to get to the star on stage. Oftentimes you interact with celebrities. So there's a lot of possibilities of interesting stories coming out of this. What kinds of work did you do, Dave, when you were a security guard?
Like you, Bean, I was a guy in the yellow jacket, and I worked for a company called CSC, which they still do the Coliseum and a bunch of areas in around Southern California. And some of the memories I have was, one, you were mentioning about stopping people. I worked at a USC-Notre Dame game where USC upset Notre Dame, and the fan rushed the field. And the supervisor was like, stop them. And you're like, no, I'm not touching anybody.
Not even going to try.
Yeah, let them rush the field. They're not going to do anything. And so that was one of them. And another one was I worked the U2 concert. I think it was the pop tour. And they had Rage Against the Machine open up for them.
Oh, wow.
Let me stop you, Dave.
Yeah.
That evening is why you become a security guard, because now you're seeing U2 and Rage Against the Machine and you're being paid for it.
And how good a security guard were you at that show, or were you just watching the concert?
Well, you were supposed to keep your back towards the stage and watch the crowd.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't happening, man. But we were there so early that we got to see Rage Against the Machine sound check. U2 sound check. And it was amazing. And then after that, there was an after party that was on our way to, you know, where we turn in our jacket. And I just walked in because I had a jacket, so they needed security. And then I ended up meeting, like, Perry Farrell and a bunch of other people.
That's fantastic.
I had drinks with them.
What?
Did they make you take off the yellow jacket?
Oh, I already did. As soon as I walked in, I took it off because I'm not going to have a yellow jacket. And, you know, we had some parties, and it was fun.
In what world is Dave the King of Mexico the man?
How long did you work for them, Dave?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. And did you interact with any celebrities in the course of doing your job?
Celebrities, Lilith Fair. Remember Lilith Fair?
Yes, Lilith Fair. All right.
Yeah, I walked Sarah McLachlan around the venue. Had to show her where all the bathrooms were at. That was cool.
Okay. All right. Define cool.
Define
Once I quit and I was working a soccer game, a friendly between England and Norway, and I quit because they had me out in the parking lot. So instead of letting me quit, they moved me into the locker room. And I know, Kevin, I don't know which stars were there back then, but I know there was a big –
sure.
You know, English soccer stars. So I was in the locker room with them.
Wow.
You
know, just,
that was your punishment?
What kind of
that was my punishment?
What
yeah.
kind of company goes, oh, you don't want to stand out there in the parking lot? You're going to quit? All right, let's use you someplace else.
It was instead, air conditioning.
Instead of just saying, hey, quit. We don't care.
That's weird. Yeah.
Allie, it sounds like you need to be a security guard if the punishment is they put you in the soccer locker room. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bunch of times, and it was a good time. But it was, you know, we got paid, I think, at the time, it was like $4. So,
yeah,
so
not were really you like being? It was you just the very basic. Don't let little things go. But if something big goes wrong, you're no good.
Nah, I was just there, looking at people. I was people watching.
Corey writes in. He texts us from the 714. At least if Bean were a concert security guard again, he would know what to do if somebody fell off the stage. So
that is
my specialty.
Right?
Thank you, Corey.
He's got some experience.
All right, Dave. Sounds like a fun chapter in your life. Thank you for jumping on the line with us. We appreciate it.
For sure, guys.
Have fun at Lollapalooza, man.
I will.
All right. We'll see you soon. Let's talk to Benjamin real quick before the break. He's up first, line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking to you, if you were a security guard, what kind of things did you see and do? 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
What's up?
Well, I did EDC for the first time 2 years ago.
All right.
And I had a gentleman who did acid for the first time, 28 years old, and I had to convince him he still had arms and legs.
Oh.
That's a whole night for you.
Yeah, it took us about 45 minutes before
we were able to get him up off the ground and into the wheelchair for the medics to take him to the medical tent.
And did you yell at him? Why don't you take ecstasy like everybody else? What's wrong with you?
No, his girlfriend was going, "You're such an idiot, you're such an idiot." And I asked him, I said, "Are you seeing anything yet?" He said, "No." I said, "Wait for it. You will."
That's awesome. All right, Benjamin, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Birthday boy James Hetfield there with the band Metallica on K-Rock. By the way, 10 o'clock this morning, this was a success. Kevin and Bean t-shirt, limited edition, on sale for 24 hours only. We'll talk more about that with Kevin's wife, Melissa, when she joins us, because the t-shirt, a lot of the proceeds will go to their charity, Friends and Helpers, and she's got the backpack drive going on, so she'll be in here in a couple of minutes. First, though, Allie McKay.
Yeah.
I don't recall ever seeing you as excited by anything as you were by your trip to the dentist yesterday. You could not stop talking about it on social media. Listen, it changed your life.
I love a good teeth cleaning. Nothing feels better than when they've just been cleaned and they feel all slippery.
Yeah, I feel like the dental care you got is not why you were in particular excited about this visit.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I went to my dentist yesterday and this hot guy walks in. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if he's before me, after me, whatever. And then he walks right through the door to the back. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Okay, maybe he works here.
Right.
And then the lady at the front desk said, you know that Dr. whatever his name is, retired, right? And I said, wait, what?
And you didn't know that?
No idea.
Wow. And this was your dentist for a long time?
Yes, but I go to a hygienist for a teeth cleaning. So
gotcha.
I didn't really need to know that. But I said, oh, I had no idea. And she goes, that's his replacement.
Did
and
she whisper it just like that?
I'm telling you, every woman at this place is like, holy crap, look at our boss.
Jackpot.
So seriously, I was like, this is amazing. So then I meet him. He's lovely. He's got piercing, these green eyes that are just, I mean. And right. it brought me right back to the conversation we had. When you're at the dentist, do you look right at him and be a creep? Do you close your eyes? Do you look anywhere but his face?
And we got a lot of input on that.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. most of it was close your eyes or look someplace else.
Absolutely.
Very few of them were looking to his eyes.
Fully agree with.
Yeah.
Until yesterday. Because I could not stop looking at this man. There was his eyes and his coloring.
Dry off here. Let me jump in and say this. Look, I'm no Mo, but this photo that you, what's the picture that you tweeted? It looked like there was one picture that may have been a candid that did mm-hmm. you take one in the office yesterday? And
I
the
did.
Other one was his promo, his publicity photo?
It's from their Instagram. I said to him, I said, hey, we had this topic on our show about where to look. Can I just take a picture of you and I'll post on Instagram? And he goes, what are you really posting it for? I'm like, I'm getting you new clients, dude. Let me do it.
Putting you
so
on Tinder.
I put a picture of him as he was, you know, looking in my mouth. And then another one of him from the Instagram from the dental
office.
If we
were to look on your phone, would there be like 700 pictures of him that you snuck during the entire
time? Dare you.
But that photo that you put from his Instagram, his publicity
yeah.
photo, looks like a page out of GQ.
Yeah, he's...
Here's the new fall sweater collection starring this model. I mean, it's insane that that's a person, first of all. It's even more insane that that's a person who's a doctor.
It's not fair, really, to anyone that he looks like that.
How long did the appointment last?
Well, I got the teeth cleaning, and then lucky me.
Then you asked for more?
No, here's the thing.
Are you also a gynecologist?
How dare you? That's disgusting. Here's the thing. I have not had a cavity in 25 years.
Okay. Yeah, adults don't usually get cavities.
I've been on a streak doing good. I have a cavity.
Oh, you're so happy.
But even better, Bean.
Were you able to somehow will
I might have.
That
I might
into
have.
Existence
I was
because
just like,
you wanted to go back?
Here's the thing. Not only do I have a cavity, it's on a crown.
Oh.
I have to get a crown, you guys. That's, yeah, yeah. Usually that would be two visits, but unfortunately they do it in office. So he's like, I don't know, it could take an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm like, I got time. So I made a new appointment, but here's the thing.
Do you need somebody to call you so that you can leave halfway through and then have a second appointment?
Seriously. Oh, emergency.
Right.
But I'm not done.
Gotta go, but I'll be back.
But I posted this picture yesterday, And I think it's got like maybe 150, 200 comments that are some of the funniest things I've ever read. Us ladies are thirsty for a good-looking dentist, is all I'm saying. But Mark Thompson actually wrote on the his comment was, I'd be afraid he'd have to leave, you know, mid-dental appointment for an audition. And it's true. He's that good-looking.
So Allie now is going to go home every day and think, how can I chip a tooth?
Yes.
How can I mean, she's going to start running into walls face first. Anything she can do to get back in that dentist chair. So will you, now you're a single lady.
Yes.
Would you ever make that move? Would you make that inquiry about, hey, Doc, what are you doing later? No?
To be quite honest, he's very far from my type. A, he's got a job. B, you know, he shows up to it. So that's off the table right now. But I was doing this. It was selfless. I was doing this as a service to other people that might need a new dentist, who might be afraid to go to the dentist.
I see.
That face will not invoke fear. That face says, hey, I'd love to sit in a chair and let you do things to my mouth. That is what that face says.
And we'll leave it there. The last limited edition Kevin and Bean t-shirt was a great man who said quitters never give up. And we put that on a shirt along with a great picture of that great man and sold a ton of them with a portion of the proceeds benefiting a charity called Friends and Helpers. Now we are back with a brand new t-shirt. And this one I think you're going to love because
this was a success.
Right? And it's got Kevin Beat's face right on there. And it's this was a success. And again, it's just like last time, limited edition, 24 hours only. You can buy them through krock.com. You can go there right now and see the pictures and make your plans to buy it. And again, the proceeds are benefiting this wonderful charity. And we'd like to welcome, is she the CEO of Friends and Helpers? Is that fair to say?
She's everything pretty much. Yeah.
Kevin's wife, Melissa, joins us in studio now on the Kevin Beat Show. How are you, Melissa?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing fine. Now, I know we've worked with you for many, many years since the charity began, and the KROQ listeners are always awesome, and they have contributed so much and done such
amazing,
phenomenal work here in Southern California. But I feel like a lot of people really stepped up with that last t-shirt. Were you amazed at how many we moved and how much money the charity made from that?
First of all, I always question anything you guys are doing like that, so I figured...
Second of all, it has my face on it,
yeah,
so
it's
really.
Kevin's face on it, and I thought, no way. Yeah. I just cannot thank the KROQ listeners enough. I mean, they're the most generous group of people that I have ever seen in my life. And even as we start to work this year on some of the projects that we're working on, they're emailing me saying, hey, Melissa, are we doing this? What do you need from me? And it's just amazing.
Yeah. Because this is the time of year you come in to start talking about the back-to-school program. And generally, I know a bunch of KROQ listeners get together for an event where they pack those backpacks and stuff. What's going on this year?
Well, this year, because there's so many schools starting at different times, and to accommodate everybody, we are going to do just all online. Because that way we can just drop ship it to everybody and drop things off, and it'll just work better for the shelters, the centers, the different groups we work with, and it will also help us in being the most efficient team we can be.
We try very, very hard to make sure that 100% of what you give goes to the people who need it. And if we were going to have a bunch of events, then we're starting to pay people, and so now we don't, you know, we're careful about that. Explain to people who we help.
Oh, we help so many people. It's really amazing. And really, the listeners, everybody helps, so it's nice. We help abused women and children. We work with only shelters and centers that don't get government support so that we can take care of them. We work with all the after-school programs that take kids that wouldn't have a place to go or maybe have a bad home life. And we provide snacks and all their school supplies. And, you know, schools don't provide any school supplies now. So you have to bring your own.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay. But yes, that's a problem. So, and it's mandatory that you have these items. It's not like you can go to school without them. So we really have to help. And so we do backpacks and we do snack bags now. Snacks are really important because kids hide by their lockers when they can't go out at nutrition and share snacks. And by giving them snacks, they work with their peer group, and it's just such a positive way to win and help build self-confidence. It's wonderful.
This is one of the difficult times of year for people who are in this situation where they flee domestic violence. They're on their own. They have no money. They have nothing. They just need some kind of normalcy. And for a mom to be able to give their kid a backpack full of supplies.
It's amazing.
It will change their life versus just any other year where somebody brings a backpack. It's really an amazing thing.
So let me make sure I understand. So you're still looking for donations of school supplies, right? But there is no live event. So how do they get them to you?
Okay, well, you can go right to our website and you can do an adopt a backpack, which is a full backpack of supplies. You can do a snack bag. If you want to, you can send us gift cards because, you know, kids need stuff all year. But it was all online this year.
Yeah, there's an address on the website as well, which is friendsandhelpers.org. You can find out all. There's places to send everything if you have supplies. There's places where you can actually just sponsor a backpack, and then we take care of it.
Did you have any idea when you guys started this charity all those years ago how big it was going to get in terms of
no.
the, and by that I mean the number of people that really do depend on you year after year?
You know, it's humbling because we're lucky enough to get to do this work, and we have worked with so many people for so long, and we have so many people who come back and work with us every year that I'm so happy that we're able to do it. It really, it's a gift to have, be able to.
A long time ago, there was a small Christmas tree in a mall, and it had like 7 or 8 little notes on it, and it said, adopt a child, they need help. And so I said, well, we should do that. And then she picked up the whole Christmas tree, and then she brought it home, and then invited like 4 or 5 of our friends over, and we all sort of just went and got, that's how it started. That was all it was.
And then we didn't know what to do with the stuff because we bought so much more because we were all in Toys R Us and there might have been some drinking involved. And we had carts full of stuff, and then we said, well, how can we make this work the best for us and, you know, get this to people who need it? And then it just has become this huge thing. And I think that it's a really nice sign for the world that people want to help people they don't know.
Yes, it really, especially with so much bad news these days.
Yes.
It's nice to see something that makes you feel as good as that. And nothing feels better than giving too. Now, I know you guys work all year long on the charity, again, friendsandhelpers.org, but you only come to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show twice a year, once for the Christmas drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the other one for the backpack. So we really do need people to step up and go to friendsandhelpers.org and make a contribution and help you get these backpacks together. And what do you think of the new T-shirt, Melissa? You like it?
I love it. It's great.
Because there's going to be some money coming your way.
By the way, buy them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. 24 hours, limited edition. Get your shirt. Buy one for your friends, your grandma, your kids.
Yeah, your grandma will love it.
Grandmas will love it. I'm sending Kevin's mom one. I'm going to buy one today.
I bought the last one, and I'll buy one of these, too. And
I will tell you, and you
talk about the listeners, and you talk about how they always step up. I saw so many pictures. Kevin, you were amazed at how many pictures people sent us of them in the last shirt. But
yep.
I mean,
how about the guy in Rome?
Oh, all over the world. Yeah. But whole families buy matching T-shirts. You know what I mean? Which is just awesome when you see like a mom and a dad, or a mom and a dad and their parents or their kids or something like that. I mean, it really is. It's so fun. And the money, again, a lot of the proceeds are going to this charity that we've just been describing, Friends and Helpers Foundation. And it's just $19.99 plus tax. All you have to do is krock.com/success because it's this was a success T-shirt. And for 24 hours, 10 a.m. today till 10 a.m. tomorrow is the only time they are available, so do not sleep on this.
And if you don't want the shirt, you can go to friendsandhelpers.org, and you can also sponsor a backpack for $25 and a snack bag for $10.
So do all of those things, people.
Please.
And please
thank
do
you
them.
For that. And thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Molly Knight wrote about baseball for many, many years with ESPN, wrote a best-selling book about the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. We're going to catch up with her and find out if she thinks it's true that the Dodgers are unstoppable in their quest for the World Series this year.
Although, have you seen her tweets, Bean?
She's a little bit of a curse.
She's a curse. She's actually a curse on the Dodgers, I think.
Yeah, she should not go to the game.
She needs to root for the team from afar. We'll discuss all of that and all things Dodgers when we return after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Good morning, sir.
You know, there's a lot of reasons why songs become hits. Sometimes it's for the strangest reasons. A story like that coming up next when we return on America's Top 10.
All right, you teased us for a whole hour. You had a great story. I can't wait.
This is a great story. Rolling Stone did an interview this week, and they talked to the lead singer of a band who said that this band's hit song was dying on rock radio. Nobody was playing it.
Okay.
When DJs picked it up and started spinning it during spring break in 1987 in a very specific location in spring breaks in Florida. The college kids went home, and then bought the single and the album. The band was
Got
Def
the
Leppard.
Coming up.
Was Def Leppard.
Oh,
the album was Hysteria. And the song that was played in strip clubs all over spring break in 1987? So it was strippers that helped Hysteria become Def Leppard's biggest selling album ever. The song wasn't written for strippers, but Joe Elliott said producer Mutt Lang told them when they recorded it, it's got to be sexy. You've got to imagine people on the pole to this.
Oh.
Hysteria is now 40 years old, and the band is celebrating with a deluxe box set that comes out tomorrow. Is Don on the phone?
I feel like that voice is hurting your voice.
No, it's easy.
All right, good.
So that's the story behind Pour Some Sugar on Me. That's how it became a hit.
Wow. About that?
That's another reason to thank your local stripper.
Right? Go in for the legs and eggs special this morning and tip a little bit heavier. Make it rain a little bit when she dances to that song as a thank you for giving us Pour Some Sugar on Me as a smash hit song.
That's still a great song, too, by the way.
Great, great.
Still love it.
Great song. Paul McCartney's in the news more than he should be this week.
Because he should be pretty much not at all.
Yet again in the news. By the way, today, on this day in 1971, Paul McCartney announced the formation of Wings, which featured his wife Linda on keyboards.
And what a talented singer she was.
What a huge mistake that was on Paul McCartney's part. So the old joke goes, what's the only dog with wings? Linda McCartney.
Oh. Yeah! Wow. That is harsh. I don't like it.
That's a terrible joke.
Anyway, Paul plays drums on the new Foo Fighters album.
What?
What?
Paul McCartney is the drummer on the new Foo Fighters album. At least
what
on,
about
one,
Taylor?
On one track. Taylor's a hack.
What?
Loser.
Taylor has to get up out
of Taylor a Beatle?
Well, no.
Sit down, Taylor Hawkins.
What? Did we know that Paul McCartney played drums before this?
He plays
everything.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. I
mean, he played drums on several Beatles songs,
didn't
too.
Didn't know that. All right.
When he was the only person in the studio, he just would record them himself.
Yeah. He was very Grohl-esque in that sense that he would lay down all the tracks, all the parts for a song that he did all the time. Yeah. Taylor Hawkins told Entertainment Tonight that Paul came into the studio without ever having heard the song. Dave played it for him on acoustic guitar a couple times. Paul got behind the kit and nailed it in two takes.
Wow.
That song will be featured, of course, on Concrete and Gold, their new album, which will be out in September. September the 15th. Cannot wait, by the way, for that new Foo's album. Foo's, by the way, doing a rare club show tomorrow night at the Metro in Chicago. Imagine seeing them in a club. The best.
I thought they were playing Lollapalooza because of that, because that's going on this weekend, but they're not. They're just playing a little club.
They're just doing a club show.
Hmm.
Sold out, by the way, in case you were curious.
Oh, really? They were able to sell out a club of that size?
They were. It's got like eight seats, and they were able to do it. Paul McCartney playing drums on the album of a huge rock band. What band is that? I'll tell you right after the break.
You already told us.
Oh, crap.
I think McCartney played drums on Back in the USSR, now that I'm thinking about it.
All right.
All right.
It's a good addition.
That's a fun fact.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
And I was all in on this album when I heard the premise.
Already. Catch Me Outside?
No.
Oh.
When I heard, did I say album? I meant movie.
Oh.
And on this movie, when I heard the premise, captured my imagination. How about a movie where Christopher Robin is all grown up, and he's lost his sense of imagination. And his old pal Winnie the Pooh comes back to try to help him regain his sense of wonder.
Okay.
All in, right?
Yeah.
Then what if I told you Ewan McGregor has been signed on to play the grown-up Christopher Robin
even
in that
more
same
in.
Film? And then what if I added this? His wife, it has been announced, will be played by Hayley Atwell.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Shut up and take my money.
Yes.
Wow.
All the yeses.
But the voice of Pooh is T.J. Miller.
It's not.
No, it's not. It'll probably be Jim Cummings, who has been doing poo for many, many years.
Omar's been doing poo, too.
Very different.
Oh. That sounds like a fantastic movie.
Great premise. Great premise.
I like it.
I'm welling up already. Poo was my man when I was little.
Poo was your man?
I slept with a stuffed Winnie the Pooh for the better part of my childhood. But then, as a man, I grew up and stopped sleeping with stuffed things.
Because it's creepy
because
and weird.
Because it's creepy and weird.
That makes sense.
But you travel with it. No.
Okay. I put away the things of childhood.
I see.
And I grew up and became a man and just slept without any sort of stuffed animal whatsoever. Because that's what men do.
Right. I don't know why you guys are going into such detail about not sleeping with a stuffed animal. It seems like a weird topic of conversation.
Bean takes a sock monkey everywhere he goes.
Bean sleeps with a sock monkey.
Look, it's
everywhere he goes. He
can't
sleep without it.
Can't sleep without it.
Comforting and comfortable. Why not?
Because you're a grown ass man.
And who does it affect? It affects no one. Just
world,
it makes me sleep better.
The world.
That's all.
It affects the world.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Right? We're all a little less mature because of what you do. Right?
I do support Bean on this, though.
Thank you, Allie.
Yeah. If it helps them sleep and it's comforting, I think that's lovely.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Well, maybe he should address the core issues and not deal with a sock puppet Band-Aid.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Just saying.
You just curl up and you have it like under your arm up against your chest and it just feels good.
Not
You're
helping.
Dead to me.
Even that kid.
Not helping.
How do you feel now?
Not I'm rescinding? Yeah. I mean, Bean. Run.
Fix your goddamn life. I got
the
it.
The guy who goes on the stand in his own case that he's winning and ends up in prison.
And loses.
He's that guy. He turns the jury against him by testifying. The lawyer's like, no, don't. I want to testify in my own defense. No! Trust us on this.
I just think you're terrific.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Carly Kloss is 25 years old today. James Hetfield of Talica is 54 years old. Ryan Lochte, 33. Martha Stewart, 76. Michael Ealy, very talented actress, 44 years old. Hannah Simone of New Girl is 37. Evangeline Lilly, soon to be seen as the Wasp in Ant-Man, is 38. Isaiah Washington, the actor, is 54. Martin Sheen is 77. Todd Gurley from your Los Angeles Rams. He is 23 years
old.
He's
the only famous football player born today,
Ross? He's the only football player today that is born.
Tom Brady turns 40.
Only one
Tom Brady is
celebrating a birthday.
Happy birthday.
So that's great news.
Greatest of all time.
He's the only NFL player that has a birthday today.
Ralph Garman to walk the show.
Tom Brady.
Every once in a while, if you're really, really lucky, you will find an organization that is firing on all cylinders. And that's what it looks like this year is all about for the Los Angeles Dodgers. You got the right owners. You got a great manager. You got a phenomenal selection of players, pitchers and offensive players. And all they do is win right now. The only thing that's standing in the way between them and winning another World Series is our next guest, Molly Knight. I mean, the old lifelong Los Angeles resident and Dodger fan, author of the best-selling book about the team, The Best Team Money Can Buy, but apparently a curse of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we need to figure out what's going on, and we got to stop it, Molly, because you can't derail this train.
I know. My mom is trying to figure out if my first game in the stadium was, in fact, in 1989. She's on the case. She is looking through old photo albums.
Okay.
But I think we have enough proof recently.
Yeah, what's been going on, Molly? What's happening with you and your beloved Dodgers?
They've gone like I don't know, 25-3 at home this summer, and guess which three games I've been to?
Damn it, Molly.
That's unbelievable. It's so hard to not go to a game that the Dodgers win.
I know. Well, one of those games was Max Scherzer, so that's not my fault.
Understandable. Okay.
One of those games, I was in the all-you-can-eat seats and basically passed out from nacho consumption, so I don't know what happened.
Okay, but that is your fault. Go ahead.
Yes, that's my fault. Right. And then the third game definitely is looking bad for me because it was Alex Wood against his old team, the Braves, and he gave up, like, I don't know, a lot of home runs and doubles, and it was ugly. He gave up a grand slam to the pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, that's a sign it's not going well for you.
Yeah, I was, like, drinking my beer through my sweatshirt at that point. It was awful. By the way...
I wonder if we could find one other soul that, out of those 28 games, only went to the three losses. Yeah,
I know. I mean, he's facing them again tonight. Alex Wood is at the Braves, so... Maybe he was nervous facing his old team and, like, too amped up or something. Maybe it was his fault and not mine. We'll find out tonight.
We'll find out tonight.
A no-hitter, it's definitely my fault.
Now, for folks who don't follow baseball, first of all, shame on you. But the Dodgers are on pace for a historic season. The way they're going, they could – I mean, look, here's the thing about baseball. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Molly. A great season for a team is winning 100 games. They're on pace to win like 120 or something. I don't think they will. You don't see a team come along like this very often, right?
No, and it's super fun because they're both, like, really good, so they can bludgeon you. But also they're really pesky, so they'll come back late with, like, you know, Chris Taylor or Chase Utley or some other, like, smaller dude, like, stealing a base and, like, fouling off 10 pitches and then stealing a base and then scoring with, you know, two out in the bottom of the ninth to tie it. They're relentless. All the games are fun except the ones I go to.
Right.
Yeah, they find so many ways to beat you, and a lot of people, you know, were already excited about this season, but then there was that miraculous 12 minutes in the front office the other day where they said, hey, you know what? God. What if we added another pitcher? Now, talk about the significance of bringing Yu Darvish to the Dodgers.
Well, in one sense, they didn't need him. I mean, because you're exactly right. This is the best team that they've had in my lifetime, certainly, and maybe in a lot of people's lifetimes. But the problem is every year they go into the playoffs with sort of like no plan for who's going to pitch game four of whatever series they're in. And it always winds up being Clayton Kershaw on short rest, whether they're up 2-1 or down 2-1. And usually he does fine in that game. It's just the next game that his arm falls off. And I, for one, and I like him as a player and a person. I mean, like is probably too mild a word. And so I'm sick of seeing that. Like last year he pitched 4 times in 9 days. And he always wants the ball. But, like, of course he's going to fall apart. And then the rep comes if he chokes or whatever. It's like, I was at Wrigley for game two, and he was amazing. He shut down that Cubs team that was, like, you know, the team of destiny or whatever. And people, like, couple days after coming in and saving and winning the division series against the Nationals. I mean, he's a phenomenal pitcher, and he was great last year in the playoffs.
It sounds like this move, though, is a good move. Yes. Like, if you want to go deep into the playoffs is one thing. If you want to win the World Series is something else.
Yes, and for me it's like, thank God, finally they're going to do something different than what they've done for the last 5 years, which is put send Kershaw out there on short rest every time.
Right. How concerned are you about Clayton Kershaw's back right now? It's always nerve-wracking when he goes on the disabled list. What's going on with that, if you know?
I mean, I think I'd be more concerned, actually, if this was the first time, which sounds counterintuitive. But I think he's learned, as he's gotten older, certainly, not to try to be a hero and rush back and hurt himself worse. And the fact that they have such a huge lead, I mean, it gives them the benefit of being able to rest him perhaps even longer than they would. I mean, I know he's chomping at the bit to get back. Like, he's always in a gnarly mood when he's on the disabled list because he just, like, really wants to pitch. But I think he's going to be okay.
That's a great point that they have the luxury of waiting because they're so far out in front. Molly Knight is on the phone, by the way, the author of the best-selling book, The Best Team Money Can Buy About the Dodgers. It's a wonderful read, and I advise everybody to get it, especially if you're a Dodgers fan. One more question about Yu Darvish. He is better than his record with the Rangers this season indicates because they're a terrible team. He didn't get a lot of help some games, right?
The Rangers are a hot mess. Their bullpen is, like, stitched together by bubblegum and popsicle sticks. Do not look at his record, even his ERA. He had a really bad start in his last game. He gave up like 10 runs, the worst start of his career. I think he was just bad. I mean, some scouts tried to say he was tipping pitches and, like, meaning the other team knew what was coming. And I think that was just like hot air, honestly. I think he's going to be fine. He's great. He strikes people out. I mean, you get to all these advanced stats, and yes, I'm a nerd, so I look at them, but it's like Little League. The pitchers who strike people out are the ones that are the best. Because if you strike someone out, they don't hit the ball, and then the ball can't accidentally, like, you know, land somewhere where a fielder isn't. And so he's really good.
That's some in-depth analysis.
That is
right there.
Baseball for Dummies 101.
Yeah, I liked it. See, like, that's why we brought the expert on the show, you guys.
He strikes people out. I mean, that's the bottom
right,
line.
Right, we're not arguing with you.
Yeah.
Molly, you want to explain how many strikes you have to get to strike somebody out? You want to go that deep?
Yeah, we're going to go that deep. Also, he's like a 6'5", half Japanese, half Persian dude who has a great sense of humor. I mean, he's really fun to watch. So, I mean, I'm into it.
I am into it, too. Look, we're almost out of time here, Molly, but I have to ask. Okay. Give us some advice here because you have lived and died and breathed, you know, bled for this team your whole life. How do we tamp down expectations, or should we? Should we be of the mindset right now, World Series or bust, nothing else matters?
That's a great question. I think it can be just, I mean, I know I'm definitely looking forward to October, and I'm sure that many of the players are too, just because of the crushing defeats recently. And I think that that's human nature. And I think that, they'll tell you, I mean, these are extraordinary humans who perhaps don't feel pressure in the way that the rest of us might, simply because they've made it all the way to the major leagues. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to be a disappointment if they don't at least make the World Series, which they haven't done since '88.
So just enjoy it. I think that's what we got to do, right? Just enjoy it.
Don't go to games I'm at.
What's your policy on going to games now?
I mean, there's an exorcism planned for the 15th, so that's all I can say at this point.
Okay. If your picture is not at every stadium door saying, do not let this woman in.
There's an exorcism planned, and I can't reveal any more details, we'll have more clarity.
Okay.
All right. Wonderful to catch up with you, Molly. We love having you on the Kevin Abean Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, anytime. Love you guys.
New Kevin Abean limited edition t-shirts go on sale today at 10 a.m. through Friday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. You have 24 hours to buy them. They're only $19.99, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Friends and Helpers.
This was a success.
That's what you'll see on your t-shirt, along with Kevin Abean's faces right there. And by the way, you don't have to be in front of your computer at 10 a.m. This isn't like a concert deal where if you don't get it by 10:20, they'll be sold out. You do have 24 hours. And the way this works, thanks to Lightning and his great crew over there at the Long Beach Clothing Company, they print as many as we sell. So, just go on any time in the 24-hour period between 10 a.m. Thursday and 10 a.m. Friday, and you will get your shirt. And they come in ladies cut, too, which is beautiful. We've got to find the model, by the way. He's on the website.
Yeah, we need a new one for the guy shirt, too.
We certainly need a new one for the guy shirt. Right. KROQ.com. Get your This Was a Success Kevin Abean Limited Edition t-shirt starting at 10 a.m. this morning. Afroline is on the air right now with your calls. You can leave us a voicemail message anytime, 24 hours a day. We love it when you do. 323-520-AFRO on any topic. What's up today?
This guy very happy that Bean did a second podcast.
A second Bean podcast? Yeah! Bean never ever fixed your goddamn life. Bean's not a dick. Bean's not a dick. Bean's not a dick.
The irony is dripping off of her voice, by the way. She means not one word of that.
I don't think so. I think she was taking your side.
That was sincere,
really?
For and, sure.
You should think that as well, because I know what's coming up.
Okay.
And it's not going to go as well for you. Here's Bean breathes loud. And here's a clip.
Now, obviously.
So then.
Hey, guys, I'm Bean. I'm going to talk more. We're going to talk a lot. Shut up, Bean.
Look.
Explain to people why it was so much more apparent.
On podcast number 3, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but I don't know very much about how to produce a radio show because that's never been my job. So I'm using some different equipment, different effects, different programs that I'm not familiar with. And there's a setting where you can pump a lot of compression into your voice. And that just sucks up everything, including every breath you take.
Yeah, so if there's not words being spoken, the breath is
super
elevated,
loud,
elevated to the same loudness of the sentence being spoken. Right.
Right.
So unfortunately, that's how I mastered podcast number 3. So every time I talk, it sounds like that. And I apologize. It has been corrected going forward, but I totally accept your score.
But at least that last guy was the only guy that noticed.
Hey, Bean, just listen to your podcast.
Why do you have to inhale so loud? You sound quite winded when you have to do all the talking. Good thing you have Ralph, Allie, and Kevin to do some of the talking during your actual show. Good luck living to be 100 with that lack of stamina.
Well said. So a lot of good feedback.
Hey, Bean, I just want to say how great your podcast is. I just think it's so great how you bring us so much informational information. It's great.
I feel like the message of my podcast is being lost.
A little bit. This is from his first podcast.
Oh, come on. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
So that happened, and then this call happened.
Hey, Bean. What's up, girlfriend? You go, girl.
So the kids love the podcast?
The kids love it.
Is that the takeaway here or what?
Yes, the kids love it. Allie, you were in a movie. What was the name of the movie?
It's Unaccompanied Minors.
Uh-huh. And what was your role in that movie? What were you listed as?
No name, just perky presenter.
Hey, Allie, just watched your movie. Wanted to see if you wanted to see my perky presenter.
I mean, it's hard to say no to that.
Yeah, I'm in. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Okay, that's not necessary at all. That's not a good use of the Afro line.
That's what it sounds like when my butthole tries to say bean.
Now, I have a question. Why is your butthole trying to say the word bean? Anyone?
I can't imagine.
Okay.
Oh, Allie, how about you and I relive some of your past? It'll be the best 30 or 45 seconds of your life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the song I lost my virginity to. The Maxi Priest version of a Cat Stevens song.
How many girls get a chance to lose their virginity twice? I think you need to take this young man up on it.
My name is Bean, and I have another podcast. I talk about informative and funny things, but it really isn't. My name is Allie, and I think I'm cool because I went all over Europe.
Right?
Give me more.
My name is Kevin, and I don't have time for a podcast because I have a lot of marathons to run.
Another one?
Yes.
My name is Ralph, and I'm the talented of the group. Everybody makes me mad, especially Kevin and Bean. And whenever they get me mad, I start yelling.
Another one?
Yes, no. Yes.
My name is Chip.
Actually, no. Chip's actually pretty cool.
Hey, come on!
Why is Chip changing her voice and being funny?
That guy made some good points.
Yeah. Well.
323-520 AFRL 24 hours a day.
Hey!
Yeah!
I thought that was perfect as well.
Standing
finally, finally perfected it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
I'm glad that we have smart people we can go to help make sense of the world's confusion. I wasn't talking about you. This isn't about
I'm
you, Rob.
I'm very happy to help wherever I can.
The world is a confusing place.
I appreciate my input.
And a lot of times we see things in the news and we go, I don't understand that. Please, somebody walk me through it. And this is one of those headlines. Quitting alcohol can kill you. Okay? Quitting alcohol can kill you. So what's up with that? Doesn't that kind of fly in the face of everything we've ever heard?
Dr. Drew's going to be mad at us, though, because he's been saying this for
15
years.
Yeah, if you quit cold turkey, that's
guys,
a huge
don't
problem.
Listen to me when I say this stuff.
Apparently, it's not a good idea to stop drinking, so we'll talk to Dr. Drew about that. But that's good news
it
for a lot of our
how you do it. I'm just suggesting it might be how you do it, this not is why whether you do
it's
it.
It's dangerous,
not.
But you need to do it if you have a problem.
Right. So never stop drinking
that's
is what the doctor
what
is
saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
We'll hear from Dr. Drew coming up right after the top of the hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
He is going to start with that it's poison crap that he says, though, right? I don't care for that at all.
You don't like that
whole conversation.
All right.
Hey, you know what's coming up? The 35th anniversary of Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. 35 years since that movie came out. It's crazy.
Are we celebrating 35-year anniversaries now of sequels?
Is
that where we're at?
I will burn you to the ground.
No, I'm just asking.
How do you do that? How do you burn a person to the ground?
But it's not even it's the
Bic lighter.
Stop. Okay. Naming things to burn him to the ground with. He did ask.
It's not that hard. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a weird anniversary of a weird movie to celebrate. That's all.
You just can't let anyone have fun,
Your whole life's purpose is to suck joy out of the world.
I'm just confused. I don't understand when 35 years became a milestone
of a sequel.
Says 7/12 Christmas Bean.
Thank you, Kevin Ryder. Yeah. Every 5 years is a valid anniversary for something.
Okay. All right, what are they doing to
That's
celebrate?
That's when they have high school reunions, right? Every 5 years. Your 25th, your 30th, your 35th, your 40th, right? That's when people celebrate anniversaries.
Of a sequel. Okay, go ahead.
Son of a bitch.
Can I leave now?
You should, Chip. You should start driving.
You were smart.
And while you're driving, drive through Bean's house, would you? In your RV? Anyway, they're re-releasing it back into theaters. September 10th and 13th, The Wrath of Khan is going to be in theaters around the world. It's a special event from Fathom Events. They do this from time to time, and they're also going to be a 20-minute interview, sit-down interview with William Shatner about the making of Star Trek II. Brand new interview, so you get to hear some new information about that classic, classic film. From Hell's Heart, I stab at thee. Khan!
Right?
I have been and always will be your friend.
Come on!
Yeah.
Right?
Now I feel like I've seen it.
Now, Allie, did you enjoy that?
And he's all, take it to the bridge, Khan. And he's like, I'll be there.
Allie, you haven't seen Star Trek
You've
movies
never
either,
seen
Allie?
Any of the Star Trek movies? No. None of them.
Come
no
on!
No Bond movies, no Star Trek movies.
Honestly, I just knew there were Star Trek movies, like the most recent ones. I didn't know there were old ones.
Oh, my Lord.
And you didn't know Mission Impossible was a TV show?
I mean, not so much as knowing it was.
Okay.
Now let me give you a little showbiz story that will give you some insight. Even more insight than we've garnered already about being in this showbiz.
Okay. All right.
Here's a story for you.
All right.
I'll read it to you verbatim.
Okay.
As it was sent to me. Howell, New Jersey. Dateline, Howell, New Jersey. Howell police are looking for a man accused of performing a lewd act during a showing of the Emoji Movie. Police say that a woman watching the movie with her children at Escape Movie Theater on Route 9 witnessed the suspect with his hands down his pants, which were unbuttoned and unzipped.
Oh, no.
She told police that the man was seated alone in the back row of the theater. The woman reported the incident to the theater's manager, who asked the man to leave. The woman then called police when she returned home. Police have released a photo of the suspect. He is described as a white blah, 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 blah. Howell police, and then gives the phone number. Okay, that was sent to me by Bean. But let me read you the subject line.
Okay.
Greatest showbiz story in a while.
Ralph, not only did he say that in the subject line, he said in between segments, you guys, I just sent Ralph the greatest showbiz beat story. I hope he does it. It's truly the best.
It's a
and an endless supply of creepy.
It's a dude pleasuring himself in a theater full of children.
How is that the best showbiz story, Bean?
Who
was it, Bean?
Not the kid part. I don't like the kid part. But
well, that's all there is.
That's
it's
all
a mother
is.
And her children witnessed a man with his hand down his pants taking care of business.
You can't take the children out
that's
of that theater.
That's all there is. That's all it is.
No, there's more to it than that. And okay. what there is how do you rub one out to the Emoji Movie?
Yeah,
he's not rubbing it out
movie.
To the Emoji Movie, dumbass.
Did you not get that?
I didn't think that at all. Really? You think it's the people in the theater he's looking at? I thought it was the emojis.
Wait.
I thought there was. I thought the emojis are the least sexy thing in the world.
Everyone hold. So you thought one of the characters in the emoji movie was turning him on so much that he had to take care of business.
Yes, that's what I thought. Was it the smiley face? I mean, is that smiley face looking at him? I don't know. But something got him all riled up. Something got him all handsy, right?
You are adorable.
It just seems like an unlikely film to masturbate to. That's my only point is how could you? Like, it's the least sexy environment in the world.
It's the children in the audience, Bean.
Didn't think of that.
Well, that actually pleases me about you. That didn't even enter your mind. But you're an idiot. I love you to death, but good freaking Lord.
Are you a pedophile?
I didn't think about the kids at all. Never occurred to me about the audience. I was thinking about
this dumbass,
this guy, and this movie. It was just a weird.
He wasn't sitting at home watching the pay per view,
right? That's even weirder, though. He's in a movie theater. How could he not resist the sexiness that is the emoji movie? It struck me as so bizarre. And now I guess it's not as bizarre as I thought it was. Based on new information.
It's the best.
It's not new information, by the way. All that information was there.
The best showbiz story in history.
Yep. Greatest showbiz story in a while.
Mm-hmm. A while.
Said creepy pedophile Bean.
Why do some people tune out? I'm sorry, that came across super creepy, okay?
Hey, you should try and wash that from your email,
Bean. I wasn't trying to be creepy. Again, the kids never entered my mind. I just thought he wasn't going to see some adult drama that has some sexy time in it. He was watching a movie about little phone emojis running around. Like, how do you get turned on by that?
Things have taken a change for the much, much worse.
The fact that he was in the back row instead of the front row didn't give you some idea of what his attention was on?
Creepy alert.
I just thought that was so that patrons were not likely to see him. He would not be encountered in the theater.
That went south so fast!
That's creepy.
Oh, Bean.
All right, I think I'm up to speed now.
He's got it, guys.
I got it.
People say, why do you get so frustrated, Ralph? Why do you get so upset? People ask me that all the time.
Yes, please. Oh, my God, make it true.
Oh, never not funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Carly Kloss is 25 years old today. James Hetfield of Metallica is 54. I'm going to keep saying Metallica, by the way.
Are you?
Yep. That's what they say. Mm. Ryan Lochte's 33.
It's dumb when they say it too, Kevin. Don't encourage him.
Martha Stewart, 76. Michael Ealy is 44 years old. Hannah Simone is 37. Evangeline Lilly turns 38. Tony Bennett, legendary singer. 91 years old today. Isaiah Washington is 54. Martin Sheen, 77. And Todd Gurley, running back for your Los Angeles Rams. He is 23 years old today. And, all right, there's a quarterback also celebrating a birthday today. Oh,
thank you, finally.
Quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
How dare also you. Celebrating Tom Brady, 40. Right. Tom Brady, 40. Tom Brady.
Every week about this time, we are delighted to catch up with our favorite doctor, Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us back on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you that I may be a dumbass because when I saw that terrible story a few days ago about the actor Nelson Ellis from True Blood who had passed away, it was so sad. He was, 39 years old or something like that. And I thought, man, what takes a young man down like that in the prime of his life? And then I heard that he was trying to stop drinking, and that's what killed him. And I was so confused by that, doctor. And we need you to put that into context because I had no idea it was dangerous to quit alcohol.
And I, interestingly, am confused that people are confused because you've heard me say this before. Alcohol is the only drug the withdrawal from which can easily be fatal. That's why when people come off alcohol, we have to put them in the hospital. I think most people are aware that people can get tremulous and shaky and vomit and get diarrhea, right? You've seen people think about that as DTs, right? But that's not true delirium tremens. True delirium tremens is a cardiovascular collapse. And some people theorize that if you survive, you really didn't have DTs. True DTs, usually it's a bad withdrawal. So again, you're delirious. You may be seizing, you are shaking, you are
blood pressure drops, and then you get a second infection, like a urine infection or pneumonia, and that's what tends to send people off the cliff into true DTs, and those are usually fatal.
I know you've been talking about this a long time, Dr. Drew, but it I think it's still shocking to say that withdrawing from heroin or cocaine or any other drug is not as bad as quitting alcohol.
I have also said many times, remember me talking about good drugs and bad drugs? You know, people qualified, and the alcohol is a good drug. Hey, it's legal. No, it's not a good drug. It's a carcinogen to almost every tissue in your body. The withdrawal is commonly fatal, or it can be commonly fatal. And it causes more medical injury, more lost days of work than any other chemical on earth that I can think of. Cocaine withdrawal, yeah, people have trouble stopping, but the withdrawal is kind of miserable, but no big deal. Heroin withdrawal, any opiate withdrawal, yeah, it's miserable, but it's about 5 to 7 days, and it's over and doesn't. The only way you can die of a heroin withdrawal is if you get a second complication, like a heart attack or something. Mm-hmm. But alcohol withdrawal can really just kill you pretty much by itself.
Okay, so put it into context for the regular person who's listening. We're not talking about somebody who for 3 weekends in a row has gone out and got trashed, and now he wakes up one day and goes, man, I got to take a break. I'm getting out of control. I'm drinking too much. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody who's got a long-time alcohol addiction, right?
Yes, you're talking about a daily alcohol consumer. But the strange thing about alcohol withdrawal is it seems to be, for lack of a better word, idiosyncratic in the sense that some people have really intense withdrawal symptoms after relatively minor levels of alcohol exposure, while other people can be drinking. Oh, well, I had one guy that would come in on his face and would, you know, wake up 8 hours later and just have no withdrawal. I couldn't believe it. But I've had plenty of other people that, you know, are drinking moderately, a bottle of wine a day on the order of that, and lo and behold, they stop and start developing severe withdrawal. And by the way, a common feature of that can be a week or two later, seizure. And that can be while they're driving the car.
Wow. That's
a significant problem. Yeah, it's really serious.
In layman's terms, how do they prevent those DTs from happening? Do you drink for a while and they just gradually decrease the amount that you're intaking?
No, that actually, they used to do that. They used to actually give alcohol infusions.
Yeah, you do a shot for like a year and every day.
But
that's the best way to quit drinking is to drink every day, right?
There you go. Kevin's solution. I'm not interested. I don't find tapering to be a good solution to any drug withdrawal. It's just not good. But because what I do is use what are called cross-tolerant substances. So if somebody's coming off, say, a Valium-like drug, we use phenobarbital and Neurontin. If somebody's coming off alcohol, we use things like Librium. People will also add anti-seizure medication like Depakote. And we used to use a lot of Librium back in the day, and people would settle down and be good, you know, after about a day or two. And if you sort of dose them up adequately, it's quite a safe process. But it needs to be really, you know, it's not something you can do at home. A nurse has to monitor it.
No, I mean, this is really, really good information to get out there. I mean, this could be a lifesaver for somebody listening who thinks, well, I just won't drink anymore.
I know. I can't tell you how often I tell people, you got to go to the hospital. They're like, I want to stop. Help me. I'm like, go to the hospital. But remember, Amy Winehouse died in this similar manner. It's not entirely clear what happened there, but it was some combination of improperly managed alcohol withdrawal and improper use of the Librium that is used to treat the withdrawal. Something went wrong in there. She was improperly supervised, and she died of this phenomenon.
How do people know if their drinking problem is bad enough that they should seek help when they stop?
If somebody's drinking, there's no absolute value, right? But if you're having shakes in the morning when you stop, and you have to take an eye-opener in the morning to stop the shakes, that's somebody who should be talking to a doctor when they stop.
Kevin was asking for a friend, by the way.
Yeah,
doctor.
A friend of mine wants to know.
But if you're finding you're managing withdrawals with alcohol, you know, early in the day, that's somebody who needs to talk to somebody.
All right. Great information. DrDrew.com, all the podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, the weekly infusion podcast. Don't miss the doctor on the radio, AM 790 with Mike Catherwood, weekdays from noon to 3. And then, of course, the Heal app as well. If you want to get a doctor to visit you in the comfort of your home, on-demand house calls, it's a great deal. Dr. Drew, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thunder. 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 Love
that tune. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 937.
What's the policy, you guys, on us wearing our own T-shirts? Would you ever wear a This Was a Success, Kevin and Bean T-shirt, Kevin?
No.
Really? How come?
Because my face is on it. Who needs that?
Yeah, I've never worn a Garmy shirt in my life.
I mean, it would be weird if you wore a shirt with your own face on
it. It's the height. The height of narcissism, I believe.
Would you wear one, Bean?
Sure.
And there you have it.
I don't consider myself a narcissist, but I think it's a cool shirt. And,
it is a cool shirt.
It's funny. It makes me laugh.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt. It's a little publicity for the program, which is always good, right?
Yeah, all those people going to run across you wearing that shirt.
Right?
They're going to finally tune in there in Washington or New Orleans.
Okay, maybe not as effective for me as others. All right, so what if you're not on the show? How about then? Should you then buy a This Was a Success t-shirt?
Yes, of course
okay.
You should.
So yes, that's what we can all agree on. The brand new Kevin and Bean limited edition t-shirt, number 2 in a series, is available this morning in about 22 minutes from right now. We open up the website at krock.com. You can actually place your order for only 24 hours. So Thursday at 10 a.m. today until Friday morning at 10 a.m. Just 24 hours. Those shirts are only $19.99 plus tax. Go to krock.com/success, and part of the proceeds benefit the Charity Friends and Helpers Foundation. Kevin, a word about that real quick?
Yeah, we are doing our back-to-school drive for Friends and Helpers, and that is to help abused women and children. And we're looking for backpack support and also snack bag support as well. And so a portion of this proceeds goes to that charity.
And the yacht has to be put in dry dock, so, I mean, there are costs. You got to do it.
Man. No yacht. It's not a yacht.
The old so, Friends and Helpers at sea again.
It's not Kevin's yacht. I promise.
Yeah, all right.
Buy a t-shirt. You'll love it, and you'll help out a great cause, too, but only for 24 hours. All the details at krock.com. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Getting a ton of emails and whatnot regarding Bean thinking it hilarious that a guy was performing a lewd act in a theater full of children during the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my defense, for folks who weren't listening last hour, I took the kids out of the equation in my mind. I just thought he was sexually excited by a cartoon movie of emojis. And it was, to me, that was very funny because it seemed like an unlikely thing to be provocative.
Right. Bean thought it was unlikely to rub one out to the Emoji Movie.
Right.
See, his defense also got a lot of emails, like this one from listener Edwin, who says, please inform Bean that you cannot rub one out to any movie in a movie theater. Or does Bean have a list of movies that he thinks it's acceptable to do that? All I know is, if I go to a theater and Bean is in the back row,
you move on.
I am turning around and leaving.
Yep.
Which movies do you think would be okay for this gentleman to have been rubbing one out,
Bean? I wasn't suggesting that it was okay or that it wasn't illegal and gross. I was saying, just from what's going on in his head, it was more surprising to me that he would attempt this in public based on the film that was on the screen rather than something that might have got him going. That's
gotcha.
All.
Gotcha.
But no, don't do that. Don't masturbate in public is the takeaway of today's show.
Not to defend Bean, but somebody sent me a link to the Urban Dictionary, and that is a thing that people get turned on by emojis.
No.
In the Urban Dictionary, it says that's a thing.
People get turned on by everything.
Right? Yeah. But if you turn on by emojis, you've got a phone, right? And a restroom somewhere you can go to?
Yes, yes.
I'm saying the likelihood of this guy in a theater full of kids being turned on by emojis,
I'm with you 100%.
Is very unlikely.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like anything about this story or this day.
It's kind of a rough one.
A very rough
from
day.
From the get-go.
Bad things are afoot. He doesn't drink.
Right? Right? So this is as good as Bean's going to feel all day long.
Need to start.
Well, this will make you feel good. Taylor Swift is the hottest ticket in Denver right now. The hottest ticket.
In Denver.
In Denver.
Oh, this is the...
Because she's going to be appearing in a Denver courtroom.
Oh.
She has to testify in the David Mueller case. This is the poor guy that she got fired by lying about the fact that he grabbed her butt.
Remember the radio guy.
Or this is a man who sexually assaulted a woman and now has to go to court because of it.
It's the man whose life she ruined with all her lies.
If he grabbed her ass, she's entitled to be ticked off about that.
So there's only 32 seats in the courtroom. And they're saying now the hottest ticket in Denver is for the Swifties who are trying to get the pass is to sit in the gallery at the courtroom during the trial.
There's something very disturbing about that.
Passes will be handed out at 11 a.m. The Swifties have to line up at 6 a.m. to get the passes. And they're saying people are already trying to plan how they can camp out in order to get the tickets for the Taylor Swift courtroom.
What day is this? What day are they handing out the passes?
Oh, dear
Lord. No, I'm just asking. Is it tomorrow? What day is it? Trying to plan. I got a trip anyway to Denver, so.
Jury selection begins Monday.
Monday?
Can you imagine being on the jury?
Oh, dear Lord.
You'd be like that guy at the Emoji Movie. He'd be in the back row of the jury box, pants down. Oh. Right?
Right.
All right. Let's talk about something Kevin would like.
All right.
Here's some good news. Here's great news.
Give me
a little reverb.
All right. Go ahead.
Great news. Krispy Kreme, Kevin.
No, what?
Now you can take it.
Okay, take it off.
Take it out now.
Okay.
Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
Have you heard what they announced?
I have not.
Beginning this Friday?
Hit me with it.
They're going to be releasing the Reese's Donut.
Yay!
Oh.
This is a donut filled with peanut butter cream filling, covered with chocolate icing.
Oh, dear Lord.
A peanut butter drizzle.
I need that right now.
And peanut butter chips.
Almost there.
Can be yours for just $1.69.
The pictures of this are the very definition of food porn. I mean,
it's
beautiful.
Right,
when I read this article, I said, I know one person who would enjoy this more than anyone I know.
I need it now.
And Kevin needs it now. So, beginning this Friday at your local Krispy Kreme.
Tomorrow.
You can get the Reese's Donut. Yes, tomorrow.
Did I say I could wait till tomorrow?
You did not.
I need it now.
Yeah. I know, but just hold on.
Okay.
Hold on for 9 hours. Nope.
What?
24 hours.
1709
military time.
Isn't there a Krispy Kreme in Hollywood now?
I think so, but there was one by my house that went out of business. I don't.
That won't help you,
right? I could show up there, but I don't think it's the same place.
I was just wondering if
are you guys back in business yet?
I need a donut.
I'm trying to plan it out for you, Kevin, to think if you could swing by and get one on your way into work tomorrow.
We'll send beer mug wherever we need to send it,
there you
right?
go. There's the answer. The best. Send mugs out tomorrow for us. This is great.
For somebody. He's going to be here. Chip is just telling us. He'll be with Kevin.
We don't need him.
Because of Chip's rock and roll dreams.
Don't we need a donut more than him?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a little something for Kevin.
That's a great idea.
It really is. How's no one done that before?
I don't know.
A Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Donut.
That sounds awesome.
I want
to. I need that so bad.
I'm going to eat one, and then I'm going to do something else to the other one.
Stop.
While watching the Emoji Movie.
Stop doing that. Stop doing what you're doing.
Today's celebrity birthday is Carly Kloss. She's 25 years old today. Okay. Pop quiz. You got Carly Kloss in one room. You got the Krispy Kreme Reese's donut in the other room. Both of them sitting on a table waiting for you. Which door do you go through?
Donut.
Donut, right?
Yep.
Same donut.
100%.
Because you know the donut, you got a shot with the donut, right?
I've got a shot with both.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's cute.
You're adorable. James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
54 years old today. He lost a step, I think.
I never think it sounded great.
Better. It's not sound this good.
Sounds great.
Ryan Lochte's 33. Martha Stewart's 76. Michael Ealy is 44 years old. Hannah Simone, new girl. She plays Cece on that show. She's terrific. 37 years old. Evangeline Lilly, soon to be seen in the new Ant-Man sequel. She plays the Wasp. Can't wait for that. Isaiah Washington's 54. Martin Sheen is 77. Tony Bennett. Turns 91 years old today. I left my heart in San Francisco. No, everyone's saying, who is he talking about?
Not a lot of call for the Tony Bennett.
Once a year, I get to dust it off.
Yep.
Todd Gurley of the Rams is 23 years old today. And Tom Brady.
Tom Brady! Turns 40, yay.
I hate Tom Brady.
Oh.
Tony.
Why, Tony?
Well, he's a dick.
Right.
And he's married to that bitch.
Oh, Giselle is lovely.
Oh, you can tell that a look on her face that she's a nightmare.
Wow, Tony.
Tony.
I left my heart in Giselle Bundchen.
Oh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Figure out the SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home starting at 5 p.m. on K-Rock tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, so we've got the movie beat. We've got the quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers.
San Diego. I believe it was San Diego Chargers.
They are the Los Angeles Chargers, and we're going to talk to Philip Rivers tomorrow morning.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to playing this season, and I think we're going to have a good time.
Plus, it's Friday, so we're going to do Keep It 100.